Dan Zacharias is a great friend of our school and all Christian schools in the state, of the ODACS, as we say, the Old Dominion Association of Church Schools. He's the executive director, former principal, former teacher, and ODACS has grown under his influence. He coordinates all the academic, fine arts, Bible tournaments. There's athletic tournaments. That's where most of our students know him and come to love him. But he also does a lot of other things. He lobbies in Richmond and on Capitol Hill to protect Christian education. And there's quite a few threats to Christian education now these days. And he keeps us abreast of all the latest trends that we may have to call congressmen about that would impinge upon our freedom to be able to educate children in the truth. He chairs the accreditation committee. He actually chaired ours, our last one in 2017. I remember he was supposed to be our speaker last year, and we had this, you know, crazy thing. There was just 9 kids and me and Brian, I think, Brian Gustafson, and we just, because it was so limited. And when I told everyone, they just went, "He's not coming? No, you got me, sorry." So it's really a pleasure to have him here this year. We were able to still get him. He's the voice of Christian education in our state. And we really appreciate his tireless efforts on behalf of Christian education. He truly works very hard for not our school, but all the schools, Christian schools in Virginia. Brother Dan.
Well, thank you, Dr. Dalton, and seniors, congratulations to each one of you. It is, for me, a great honor to be here with you to share this evening. For one thing, it's just good to see you and know that you're alive and well, and you're real people still. As I've gotten the opportunities to go to any kind of event and see people in person, I'm not taking it for granted these days. Congratulations. And to the parents, a quick personal word. Thank you for making the decision to enroll your child here in Temple Baptist School. I know that's not a light decision. For some people, it might be an easy decision in terms of knowing it's the right thing to do, but it can be a difficult decision as well. My parents, in 1977, they made the decision to take me out of the public school and enroll me in a Christian school. And a year later, they did the same for my brother Tim and my sister Cheryl. And it was a tough decision back in those days. It required a lot of sacrifice. But for me, it was a life-changing decision. It really was. And I know that the three of us would not be where we are today in life had my parents not made that critical decision back in those in the late 70s. And so thank you. I don't know where all the parents are, which ones of you are the moms and dads, but thank you for making that decision. That was very important. And I know, like my mom and dad, who are with the Lord now, you'll never regret it. Seniors, I'm going to talk to you. This is directed at you. It's also directed at Ethan over there. Is there anybody besides Ethan who graduated last year and a couple others? Where are they? Okay, I missed the chance. Okay, there we go, okay. So it's at you guys, plus these, but it does apply to all of us on the platform and everybody else in their seats. So as you listen to me talk to the seniors, please take these thoughts as beneficial to yourself as well. Dr. Pittman, what do you say to the class of 2021? I don't ask that question because of a dearth of ideas, but because I could think of a million things to say. We're at a pivotal moment in the history of our country and of our state. These young people are coming of age at an extraordinary time. And thank God for them. Thank God that we have young people like them that are coming of age at this time. But I could say a million things, and I know that you didn't come here to listen to me. So I also know that I wield an enormous amount of power, seniors, because you don't get your diplomas until I'm done talking. So you know what that means. I have to know that you're listening, right? Okay? Okay, I know you're going to do that. I want to share three principles with you from the Word of God very quickly and challenge you with these ideas. And we're going to look at Jesus Christ as an example of each one of these. An attitude that he had as he walked the face of this earth for those brief few years that sets an example for you and me to emulate. The first one, we're going to start, by the way, I'm going to look at a lot of passages. I promise to go fast. If you have a Bible on your phone or a hard copy and you want to try to follow along, I encourage you to do so. The first passage we're going to look at is in Luke 2. But Jesus Christ had what I like to call a spirit of obedience. A spirit of obedience. His attitude was, I will do whatever God the Father tells me to do. Pastor Pittman almost stole my thunder in his prayer. I don't know if you caught it, but he prayed that you would have that spirit, that you would say, God, I'll do anything that you tell me to do. Jesus Christ, remarkably, though he were the eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth, yet the Bible says that he became obedient. Isn't that a remarkable thought? I can't wrap my mind around that. But young people, you know, if Jesus Christ was obedient, how much more do I need to be obedient? In Luke 2, we see that he was obedient to his parents. Luke 2, verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou just dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and the Bible says, and was subject unto them. Isn't that amazing? He created Joseph and Mary, and yet he made himself obedient to them. Philippians 2, very quickly. I'll read these fast, but I don't want you to miss these. Philippians 2. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, you know the Bible tells us how to think, young people. Here's how to think. Try to think, learn to think like Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. One more passage, Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. This is a remarkable couple of verses in Hebrews 5. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Remember when Jesus was in the garden on the eve of his crucifixion? Do you remember his prayer in the garden, young people? He said, not my will, but thine be done. That's deep. I challenge you to meditate on that. That's a prayer that you and I need to pray. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ had a spirit of obedience. Pastor Pittman, I think the concept of the New Testament principle of obedience is missing from much of American Christianity today. It really is, sadly. We know him as a friend. We've got that idea down pat. And he is a friend. But he's also my Lord. He has a right to tell me what to do and what not to do. And I owe him my obedience. Young people, I challenge you. Pray that way. Not just now. By the way, we need to pray this way. I need to pray this way still at this stage of my life. Lord, show me what you want me to do. Pray it now and pray it often. And you know what? He'll show you. He'll show you. And then obey. Jesus Christ had a spirit of obedience. He also had a spirit of adventure. Well, that was in the hymn. The hymn talks about the adventure. Where was it? They call to bold adventure. Those who turn from sloth and ease. Amen. Don't be lazy. Head out on an adventure. You know, Jesus Christ had a spirit of adventure. His attitude was, Father, I'll go anywhere you send me. Wherever he sends me, I'll go. I would challenge you sometime when you read the Gospel of John. I'm going to just give you a brief sample here. John is rich with various themes. There's the I am theme. There's the theme of believing. But one of the perhaps lesser noticed themes is the theme of the word sent. Sometimes just read the Gospel of John and focus only on that word, sent. It'll amaze you, and meditate on it. Let me share with you just a brief sample of some of the places where Jesus talks about being sent. John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. I seek not mine own will. Jesus said that. He said, I'm not here to do what I want to do. I'm here to do the will of my Father who has sent me. Later in that chapter, verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The next verse, and the Father himself which hath sent me. Verse 38, ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Chapter 6, verse 29. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me. Verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me. John 7 and verse 16, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Verse 28, ye both know me and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. I could go on and on. I've just started. There are many, many more verses. Apparently, John was listening when Jesus made these statements. There were many of them, and John was paying attention, and he recorded, who knows, probably not all of them, but many of them. Jesus says, my Father sent me. Young people, God is sending you. He's sending me somewhere. Now, I don't know where he's sending you. But if you talk to him, tell him, Lord, wherever you send me, I'm willing to go. He'll make it clear to you. He may send you to the other side of the world. He may send you to the other side of the state. He may send you to the other side of the street. But wherever he sends you, I promise you this, he will not send you farther from home than Jesus came when he came to earth, leaving heaven's glory. He did that for you and me. By the way, when you pray, Lord, show me what you want me to do and I'll do it. And when you pray, show me where you want me to go and I'll go. I challenge you not to put conditions on that. Don't box God in. Don't say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do as long as. Or I'll do what you want me to do except. I'll go where you want me to go as long as. And then you put some kind of parameters and box God in. Don't do that. Be open. Have your mind and your heart open. Because if you do what he tells you to do and go where he sends you to go, you will live life to the fullest. You'll realize God's fullest blessing for your life. You'll be happy and fulfilled. And when you get to the end of life, the Lord will tell you when he greets you, when you come home, he'll say, well done. Jesus Christ had a spirit of obedience. Father, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. He had a spirit of adventure. Father, I'll go wherever you send me. And finally, and this is the hardest one, he had a spirit of sacrifice. I'll give up anything that the Father wants me to give up. I think this is a concept that we can contemplate more easily in 2021 than perhaps we could have in 2019. It might be imposed upon us. We don't know. Things are so uncertain in our world right now. Just the fact that we're meeting here together like this in this auditorium, none of us takes that for granted right now, do we? It's a blessing to be here. Last year, you were not able to do this. We don't know what next year holds. A spirit of sacrifice. You know, Jesus Christ gave up wealth. He gave up comfort. He gave up ease. Matthew tells us that he said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The foxes have their holes. The birds of the air have their nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I remember hearing a popular prosperity gospel preacher once trying to explain that Jesus actually did own a house. And I thought this was hilarious. He didn't have a house. He didn't have a bed. He didn't have a pillow. Now, I'm not saying that God calls us to do that. He may. But Jesus was willing to give up anything that he needed to give up in order to accomplish the mission for which God, the Father, had sent him. He was willing to confront evil. In Matthew 23, I won't take you there, where he confronts the Pharisees, a remarkable passage. Publicly, boldly, but not in a vicious way, but very frankly, confronts the Pharisees about the truth about their evil, wicked minds and hearts. And young people, I don't know how we can turn the USA around toward righteousness without confronting evil. We can't just sit back and pretend it's not there and not confront it and expect things to improve in our country. We have to confront it. We have to do it in a biblical way, but it takes sacrifice to do that. He was willing to focus on his mission. Reaching those who were lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that are, who are lost. I think of him going out of his way in John 4 to meet the woman of the well. Into Samaria, where the Jews would not go. The Jews and the Samaritans would not talk to each other because of racial differences. And he went right into the heart of that place. The disciples did not understand why he was going there. And it was also that he could meet this one woman who was thirsty for the truth. He went to heal the leper. At one time, 10 lepers at one time. Can you imagine? We can't comprehend this in 21st century America because leprosy is not a problem that we can confront. But this was not an easy thing to do, and certainly it was counterintuitive and something that would be ill-advised in the culture to even approach a person like that. But he did it. He did it, and he healed the lepers. I think of Zacchaeus, the wee little man, up in the tree, because he couldn't see over the press of the crowd, so he had to get a good vantage point to see Jesus passing by. Everybody disliked him because he was a publican. He was a Jew who collected taxes on behalf of the Romans from his own people. Hard to like a guy like that. What do you think? And they were known for skimming off the top. They were known for their corruption. And he wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus, of all the people, Jesus just stopped, looked right up there, and said, I'm coming to your house today. And he came and shared God's truth with him. Zacchaeus accepted the Lord and had his life changed. Those things take sacrifice. They take a sacrifice of time. Sometimes you have to swallow your pride. Sometimes you have to go outside of your comfort zone. Right? Young people, would you be willing to exhibit that same spirit of sacrifice? Whatever I have to give up, Lord, I'll do it. My time, my money, my ease, my leisure. I'll do what you want me to do. Jesus did. Aren't you thankful that Jesus had a spirit of obedience? Aren't you thankful that he had a spirit of adventure and a spirit of sacrifice? I'm challenging myself with this right now, Dr. Dalton. And seniors, I challenge you. Will you pray that way? You won't regret it if you do. Let's have a word of prayer, and then the ceremony will continue. Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus Christ. Not only did he come to redeem us, but he showed us what it means to humbly serve you in obedience. And Lord, if he needed to be that way, how much more do I need to be obedient and submissive to you? Lord, we're thankful for these young people, these graduates. Lord, you know that we love them. We wish only the very best for them. We send them out into a challenging culture with hearts full of hope. And I pray that these thoughts that we've shared tonight would stay in their minds and hearts, and that they would talk to you in their private moments earnestly, seeking your guidance for their futures. In Jesus' name, amen.